Hi, and welcome to Living the Zoe Life, the God kind of life. This program is for those who are at the stage in their Christian walk where milk is no longer enough. I'm Reverend Faith Mailis, and I believe that there must be more to life than the grind of eat, drink, work, and sleep. Well, at least I believe so. And if, like me, you desire to thrive as the powerful spiritual being God always intended for you to be, then I invite you to join me as we learn the secrets God scattered throughout the Bible to help us live a successful and rich life in Christ Jesus, the Zoe life, the God kind of life. As we start our new series on living the Zoe life, I thought that it would be great for us to explore why we're here. Yes, we have given our life to Christ and we are born again. And that's great. But so what? We're still going through the same old problems our neighbors are, our colleagues, our friends. So what's changed? Well, we have changed a lot. And it's only available to us by faith. I don't have too much time today to dwell into faith, but we will definitely touch on it in this series. No, what I want to talk about today is why, even though we are saved, we are still facing adversity, trials, losing a loved one to sickness, or in this pandemic, our business is not the healthiest it has ever been. Well, you see, from the moment you were born, you entered a war that started before any of us were even created. The Bible tells us that we have an enemy who walks around roaring like a lion, looking to destroy us. We have to watch out, says 1 Peter 5:8. Many of us already feel like we are in the middle of a battlefield, with an ancient foe raking havoc and destruction. The Bible says we are right. Unfortunately, we are tempted to forget this in our daily walk with God. Even those who believe the gospel, which shows that Jesus came casting out demons, aiming to bind the strong man and flinging Satan down like lightning. Well, we can all tend to act as if all that stuff was way back then in Bible time. Yet the Bible says Satan is at work now, and we dare not forget it. Indeed, it's not enough to know we have an enemy. But the first is that we Christians must not think of this present world as our home. For now is the time of our wilderness journey. This life is a time of testing in preparation for our true home when Christ returns. We should never forget that we are in a warfare, because at the height of your success, the devil will remind you that he is watching you. About 5 years ago, I was running a successful business, making enough profit to enjoy Caribbean holidays, eating out on a regular basis, having expensive clothes, driving a nice car. My marriage was thriving. I was having the time of my life, being the entrepreneur I always dreamt to be. In the midst of working for myself, God reminded me that the time had come for me to finish my theological studies. So, as you do, I naively went along and registered to start on a degree course. I had been dragging my feet for years, and I mean dragging my feet. Every time I heard God call, I would tell him to wait. A year, tomorrow, the day after. I had all kind of excuses. I have young children, I'm too old to go back to uni, and who is going to run my business? On the first week at uni, during our prayer week, I was truly worried. I had a pang in my stomach that did not go away, and I knew something was going to happen, but I could not work out why. During that prayer week, I was restless, thought running through my mind, how am I going to pay for this course? Will I be able to juggle studies and running my home, let alone the business? At the end of the prayer week, I heard God asking me, "Do you trust me?" I remember standing on that stage in our chapel, giving testimony on how the prayer week had impacted me. And I remember shaking in my boots. The palm of my hands was sweating. And for some reason, I got very emotional. Tears started flowing down my face as I could not utter a response. I could not articulate an answer. Did I or did I not trust God on this journey? Fear was now gripping me. How could I do this without God? But most importantly, I knew that God was asking me to level up. Regardless of the journey, would God see me cross the finishing line? That was the question. Like an athlete who finishes a marathon, Will I be able to muster my strength to run past the ribbon and claim my place in the race? At the time that I said yes, I had no idea that my life was about to take a 360-degree vault. No, I had no idea that by the end of my studies, I would lose everything. Every time you say yes to God, you win another territory for God. When you gave your life to Christ, the angels were rejoicing with you in heaven, but the demons were watching too. And saying yes to God is something that they've tried your entire life to stop. And now that you said yes, my, they will put every stumbling block in your way of success. So who is this enemy? And why is he fighting our lives? According to the Old Testament, Satan, or Lucifer as he was called when he was an angel, was one of God's creation. Two Testament passages, Isaiah 14, 12 to 15, and Ezekiel 28, 11 to 19, allude to the angel Lucifer's original position as a very exalted being and likely the highest ranking of all the angels. Ezekiel 28, 12 to 15 also states that in addition to being powerful, it's likely that Lucifer was the most beautiful of all of God's creation. But Lucifer was not satisfied with his lot in heaven as God's favorite angel. Instead, Lucifer wanted to become God himself and planned what could essentially be called a military coup to overthrow God and take over as leader of the universe. In essence, Satan rebelled against God because he wasn't happy as an assistant to God, but instead wanted to have God's job. The devil first appears in the Bible as the serpent who deceived and tempted Adam and Eve into breaking God's command, plunging our race into sin, according to Genesis 3. In cursing him, God promised warfare between Satan's servants and the woman's children. The woman's offspring was primarily Christ, but in him, it includes the entire church of the Old and New Covenant, which is us, the church, today. So you see, our story started for us in Genesis 3, and it's well expanded upon in Revelation 12, where John is told that the dragon's tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them down to earth. But why is Satan so mad at human beings? We are facing affliction. Well, reading from the Latin Vita, Adam has a conversation with the devil, and it goes like this. What fault do I have against you, says Adam, since you have not been harmed nor injured by us? Why do you persecute us? And the devil answers, Adam, what are you saying to me? On account of you, I was cast out from heaven. When you were formed, I was cast out from the face of God and was sent forth from the company of the angels. When God blew into you the breath of life, and your countenance and likeness were made in the image of God, the Lord God then said, Behold, Adam, I have made you in our image and likeness. Satan was envious, not just envious, but bitter, because God made us in his image and gave us the regency over the world, which Satan had coveted all his life. According to Genesis 1, 26 to 28, and it says in 26, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Why is Satan so mad today that he's fighting your health? Why is Satan so mad today that he's fighting your marriage? Why is Satan so mad today that every time you come up with an idea, it crumbles even before you have started? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis 3 that the child of the woman will bruise the head of Satan. You coming onto this earth, in every area where you will be involved, you will take territory for God, and the devil will have to leave. You will bruise the head of the devil. in every places of authority that God gives unto you. Yes, God has given us dominion. It was very important for the enemy to try and destroy my life. You know, at this point, I was good. I had got money. I could tithe and be a kingdom financier. I was investing in missions and feeding the poor. I was fulfilling the mandate appointed by God to excel in my career, be a good wife, make enough money, and bless other people. It seemed I had it all together. If given any more, I would be on my way to great wealth and taking more territories for God. Me being successful in my field by employing families and friends, creating opportunities for all others to also get a better life. By being financially stable, I was able to take initiatives and participate in helping to promote the gospel. So what the enemy tries to stop is you having dominion in your field of expertise. Secondly, we know that Lucifer was created the most beautiful creature of God until man was created. The Bible confirms this in Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Indeed, when God created Adam in his image, he now created the most wonderful works of his hand. And that image is what the enemy is working really hard to destroy. At that time, my confidence was completely broken. Where was the image of God? Was I still the image of God? Who was this failure? Who was this person who couldn't do anything good? What was wrong with me? Was there anything that I could do right? The enemy planted all those thoughts of negativity to destroy me, and depression set in. You see, losing everything took its toll. My confidence plummeted. I put on weight, eating and drinking to drown my sorrows. By that time, the financial strain is digging deep on the wear and tear of my marriage, and that finally collapses. As my husband left the house, I sat in the kitchen one night and I could no longer see straight. Could I trust God? Well, my confidence had plummeted to zero. I didn't know how I was going to feed my children, let alone how the rent was going to be paid, let alone how the debts were going to be cleared. I could no longer concentrate enough to study. And on top of losing everything, I failed my second year at university. My heart was broken. How could God allow that? Was it not Him who asked me to trust Him? Everything I believed about who I was in Christ no longer made sense. Is this what serving God was all about? I argued with God over and over again. Why? Where was the scripture that He said, I will never leave you or forsake you? And where are you at this time when the enemy is fighting me? God, where are you? You know, temptations intend to deceive and corrupt three main human characteristics: to think, to wish, to feel, which are inside our mind, our soul, and heart, as Jesus alludes in the greatest commandment. The enemy will play on your mind, on your soul, and on your heart to keep you away from doing the will of God, walking with God, and from living a life full of richness by God. So why is spiritual warfare important? For us to establish the will of God upon the earth. For we are the children of God. We are the image of God. And we are all powerful because of God. Yes, we have an enemy, and this enemy is intent on destroying the human race. It has nothing to do with racism. It has nothing to do with color. It has nothing to do with your neighbor. It has nothing to do with your children. Nor has it got to do anything with your spouse. The enemy will use anything and anyone who avails himself through his mind, his soul, and his heart. It is our responsibility to bring the will of God through Christ on the earth and to execute judgment against the enemy using the word of God. God has given us power in his word. He has given us authority in his name. And he has given us immunity in the blood of Jesus Christ. But it is up to us to use the gifting and the power that God has entrusted in us to make the difference in this world. The Bible calls us the royal priesthood. And as such, we are to pray for the nations, for our situations, for our families. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, which means to pray regularly, nearly every day, consistently about the same thing. Not that God does not hear, but so that we can enforce with power what we want to see before us. We are also called as regent of the earth to legislate on behalf of God by decreeing and declaring over the world, over government, over our children, over schools, over hospitals, to decree and declare the word of God in those situations to bring the will of God on the earth. Using the authority in His name, God is asking us as ambassadors of Christ upon the earth to legislate His ruling against the enemy upon the earth, which is to remind the enemy where his limits are and where he is not allowed to go, by reminding him, by quoting the word of God back to him, which is what Jesus did when he was tempted. When he spoke to Satan, he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And at this, the devil left him. Just as it did with Jesus, the enemy will attack your mind. You will start to doubt God and what He has said about you. He will question everything that God has promised you in the Bible. And he will try to bring doubt as to whether God is true for you and whether He will come through for you. Well, one thing we know for sure is that the enemy is mad because God loves us. There is nothing that he will do to be able to change that. God loved us when we sinned. God loved us when we were not born. God loved us even when He created us. He knew what He was going to do with us. And this is where our assurance lies. Whether we're rich or not, whether we're poor, whether we have money, whether we succeed, whether we don't, God loves us. And that is the assurance of our hope, that regardless of what we are going through, God is going to make a way of escape for His children, for He is a good Father. So as ambassadors, as regent of the earth, God is asking for us to legislate on His behalf and to bring His will onto the earth by prayer. So as Christians, we must be spiritually strong, standing firmly on the promises of God and reminding ourselves daily that we have an adversary, but above all, that we have a God who loves us, who stands by us, and who will never leave us nor forsake us. And through Him, we have the victory over the enemy, and that we shall overcome all and stand firm. For Jesus Christ, our Lord, reigns and rules over all the earth, and is still today interceding for us at the right hand of God. One of the great arsenals that God has given us for spiritual warfare is prayer. One of the great weapons of the enemy, especially during times of depression and grief, is to shut our mouth from praising God, but also from praying. But praying is one of the biggest arsenals we have in our hand to be able to bring the will of God into our situation. So I've asked you today to pray and to never give up. Continue to pray until you see what you have been asking God for in your situation. Pray without ceasing. And in times of trial, stand. And stand firm, the Bible says, until God comes to your rescue. One of the things I've learned in this trial of losing everything is to stand firm. And to know that somehow, someway, God is going to make a way. And the question that God asked me in uni, do I trust Him? Whilst I was going through the storm, I will not lie, I wasn't sure I did trust. But today, I can firmly say I trusted. Indeed, what God was expecting from me was to level up, to go higher and deeper in Him, no longer desiring the milk of babes, but meat that comes with experience, maturity, and resilience. So I want to encourage you, as an ambassador of the kingdom of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, being with all power and authority as the Lord has given unto you, to level up and to spend more time with God, time in prayer, to fight for your family, to fight for your job, to fight for your marriage, to fight for your children. For indeed we have an enemy, but God is with you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, always.